All right, everybody, this is George Shepherd from Republic Magazine. We have a very special webinar today. We have Sheriff Richard Mack on with us. We're going to be going through a lot of different topics. We have the ability to ask questions, and you can interact with Sheriff Mack. Sometimes you don't get the opportunity to do that in these situations, and we're going to make sure that everyone can participate as much as they can. Today we're going to be talking about your local sheriff and if they are really the magic bullet against government tyranny. This is something I've been waiting for. I'm looking forward to this webinar for a while now, and I just want to go ahead and invite Sheriff Mack. Are you with us?
I am here. Yes, I am.
Great. So let's go ahead and just jump right on in. For the folks that don't know who you are, your background, can you just give us the skinny on where you're coming from, what your background is, and how you got involved in, I guess, being a sheriff?
Well, yeah, that's a pretty good question, I guess. I actually wanted to get in the FBI when I was starting my adventure into choosing a career. I thought, well, I'll be the only son to follow my father in his footsteps. He retired in the FBI in 1974, and I thought, well, okay, it was a good job, and I liked it, and I thought that'd be something I'd like to do. So I went to college in Utah, Brigham Young University, and graduated in 78 and tried to get in the FBI, and it never took. And so while I was waiting to hear from them over the course of 4 or 5 years, I got on with the Provo Police Department, really got to where I liked that. And after about 3.5 years, though, I became very disenchanted with some of the things that we did in lieu of what our oath of office was, and the contrast and the disconnect between the oath of office that we take in law enforcement, especially as sheriffs in this country, and what we actually do on a daily basis and routine started to weigh on me. And I thought that this was kind of hypocritical, that we take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and then we never pay any attention to it whatsoever in our daily activities. And I also brought up the question, how do we keep our oath of office? Is keeping our oath of office to uphold and defend, protect, preserve, and obey the United States Constitution completely contingent upon whatever the courts or the legislatures tell us to do? And yet we work for the executive branch, and yet we, by our own admission, claim that we do whatever the courts and the legislatures tell us to do. And so I still was having a huge problem with that disconnect, and I started studying the Constitution very assiduously, and became a student of Cleon Skousen. I went to one of his classes, and he really had a lot to do with converting me to the Constitution and changing my view about law enforcement. And my view is that law enforcement should tell the legislatures and the courts no, that there are certain things we will not do, and we will not violate our oath, and we will not violate the Constitution. And now, after serving as sheriff, I quit the Provo Police Department in 1988, moved home to Arizona, and ran for sheriff. And that's where my father was FBI for about 25 years. And so I moved home, ran for sheriff, was elected in 1988, was reelected in 1992. And then while I was thus serving, I was the first sheriff in the United States to sue the Clinton administration to stop the incursions and intervention and the unconstitutionality of the Brady Bill. And ultimately, a few other sheriffs joined the lawsuit, and Sheriff Prince and I ended up at the United States Supreme Court, where we won a case against the federal government, against the Clinton administration, and for the United States Constitution and states' rights. And we sued and said our claim was that the federal government cannot tell your sheriffs what to do. And I'm here to tell you and everybody else that the President of the United States has no jurisdiction or authority to tell your sheriff what to do. And
now,
that's the bottom line.
Just a quick question about that. Where exactly do you find that? So when people want to verify this information, where do they find that information that you're giving us that the sheriff is the top of the food chain?
Well, it basically comes from my book. I think I'm the only one that has been able to connect all the dots and prove that he is. There's no law and there's no Ten Commandments that the sheriff shall be the top law enforcement officer in the county. He already is, and I prove that in the book. The first and foremost is that he is the only elected law enforcement official in the United States. That's one of them, and that's one of the key components of it. Then you also have to look at the thousand-year history that the sheriff position has. Then you add to that his constitutional oath and his responsibility to protect his citizens. And if you look at the history and the power of the sheriff, he is the ultimate protector. That's what he promised to do. That's what historically he has always done. And it really matters not, and this is the problem that has occurred. There's been an evolution and a metamorphosis that's occurred within the political correctness of our country, and that is that we think the federal government is supreme. And that notion is absolutely false. And my Supreme Court decision proves that. So winning a case at the United States Supreme Court was kind of unique because I was a sheriff at the time, and that hasn't happened in the history of our country very often. So when you put the history of the sheriff and that he is a constitutionally elected official and that he serves by, for, and of the people, he doesn't report to bureaucrats, he doesn't report to Congress, he reports to the people. That is his only responsibility, is to serve the people and to protect their constitutional rights. And that is very unique. And so when you add all that together with a Supreme Court victory from a sitting sheriff such as myself and Sheriff Prince, then you put all those things together. As I said, I connected the dots and I put it in my book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And anybody who wants to see that the proof is there, it's there. It's only 50 pages long, and you can see there in the book for yourself.
Now, a couple really maybe basic questions, but why do our sheriffs really not hold this position? Do they even know this? Are they not taught this?
Well, it's like I said, there's been a metamorphosis and an evolution in our country to diminish the power of the sheriff and to increase the power of the federal government. And all that has been wrong, and it is wrong, and that's one of the main reasons I wrote the book. Another reason I wrote the book is because I watched, I'm really a little bit saddened and fed up with watching my country die, and I'm no longer going to sit by and watch that. I've been very active for the last 20 years in trying to restore our country as the constitutional republic she was meant to be. And so that's really where it's at now. And I want to answer the question you just said for every sheriff in the country. And indeed, we've sent this book now to about half of the state's sheriffs in all across the country. And we still have about 1,500 more to do. There's about 3,100 sheriffs in the country. And we want each and every one of them to know that for them or anyone else to think that they are not the ultimate authority in the county is wrong. It's erroneous. It's a mistake. And it's something that has been stolen. And the power grab from Washington, D.C. is an absolute usurpation. And we need to change this. And my deal is I believe in state nullification. I believe in sheriff nullification. And I believe in jury nullification. And if we're going to take our country back, then we have got to absolutely have all three of those. But the last line in the sand is your county sheriff. And
which
I hope all law enforcement
to get involved.
Well, it does. And it does. It requires every citizen to get involved because he works for you. And you've got to let him know what he is expected to do. You're his boss. And so everybody in this country needs to read this book and then make sure that their sheriff knows and understands his proper authority and purpose and his jurisdiction. And plain and simply, that the President of the United States cannot tell him what to do, but neither can any of the bureaucracies within the federal government tell your sheriff what to do. But on the other hand, when they're out of line, when the IRS goes too far, when the IRS commits crimes within your county, why on earth would your sheriff sit back and say, oh, I wish there's something we could do about that, but I don't have jurisdiction? Well, that's absolute balderdash. He is responsible for keeping the peace in his county. And, he's there to protect the citizens from the wolves. And it really makes no difference whether the wolf comes from the street gangs or the gangs of Washington, D.C. In fact, the gangs of Washington, D.C. are much more dangerous. And just as James Madison said, the father of our Constitution, quote, "There are more instances of the abridgment of freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments from those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations." And that's on page 19 of my book. And so I would put it this way, and I've said this for a long time, and I've taken a lot of heat for saying this, but I don't care. I'm going to tell the truth. And the truth of the matter is, in the way I paraphrase what Madison just said, is this: that the greatest threat to God-given constitutional American liberty is our own federal government. Period.
So the question that comes to my mind right now is, we're talking about some of these sheriffs, whether they know this or not, they should know this, and it almost hinges on negligence if they don't do something. Is there something that the people can do to hold their sheriffs accountable if they've been notified, look, you have, this is your responsibility, it's right here, there's no reason why you can't spell it out in black and white, they can't understand it, and if they don't abide by that, what is the people to do? What are they to do?
To me, that's one of the biggest mistakes that our founding fathers made. They required in the Constitution, when they devised the Constitution, they required that every state and local and federal official, from your dog catcher all the way down to the President of the United States, and everyone in between, is required to take an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. Well, there was no punishment attached for those who failed. They probably would have considered doing such treason. But I think I wouldn't go so far at the beginning of this in our educational process and go in and say, Sheriff, if you don't do this, I want you charged with treason. I think we need to be a little bit patient as we reestablish our country as a constitutional republic and educate our sheriffs. And that's what this movement is right now. It's an educational and motivational project. And first of all, we need to make sure that our citizens know and understand their responsibility to make sure their sheriff is educated in what he's supposed to do. So yes, the citizens have two things they can do. One is, yes, absolutely get involved. This process no more allow the citizens to be standing on the sidelines cheering as if they're watching the parade. We have to get in the parade. We have to be involved. We have to step up to the plate. And so everybody needs to get active and making sure that we restore our country, and that we're all watching America die, and she's on her deathbed. She can be revived, but it's going to take some real serious CPR, and that's constitutional principled resuscitation. And the other part of that is they can vote the sheriff out, and we're going to be concentrating on identifying who will be a constitutional sheriff. That's the next part of our Constitutional Sheriffs Association, and the project that Constitutional Sheriffs Association will undertake is to identify the constitutional sheriffs all across this country.
Now, the next thing that kind of comes up here, you've got these people that want to be active. They can either, you're talking about jury nullification, people can get active that way. You're talking about running for sheriff. Is it a difficult thing, since you've been through the process, if the incumbent or the person that's in power right now as the sheriff doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to uphold their oath, how easy is it to get them out?
Well, it depends. Small town politics is probably a lot easier to deal with, even though it can be quite corrupt at times. But the thing that I would concentrate on there is make sure first and foremost that you take a book and learning materials to your sheriff, that you talk to him and that you ask him if he's read my book yet and if he's willing to get on board. We're not going to get every sheriff, so don't be dismayed. I mean, this is going to be very similar to what John Adams said about the Revolutionary War. A third of the people supported the revolution, a third of the people were completely apathetic, and a third of the people supported the king. So that's pretty much how this is going to be. So if we get a third of the sheriffs, if we get 1,000 sheriffs on board, even if we get 500, we're going to be able to win this. And I believe with all my heart that if we're going to keep this process peaceful of taking back our country, then we're going to absolutely need the support of our sheriffs. They're going to have to step up. They're going to have the courage enough to risk their jobs for the holy cause of liberty. And that's really what this is going to take. Sheriffs who know and understand their oath of office and their duty to protect our constitutional rights. The evidence that I put in the book is absolutely irrefutable. I've had a few sheriffs get mad at it, but I still have never had anyone, not lawyers, not judges, not radio hosts, not webinar information or people participants on webinars, or anyone else, not sheriffs, not cops, not chiefs of police, and I've heard from every one of these groups, no one has been able to show where I've made a mistake in my book or where my book was wrong.
Now, are there any court cases like showing the legal precedent for what the claims that you're making right now? Or are there some standoffs or some situations that you can refer to that people can do some research and figure out, hey, this is for real?
Well, one is you need to Google Mac versus U.S., Mac v. U.S., and then go to Cornell University. That's the one I like the most. And they review the case. And remember, Justice Scalia wrote the decision. And I can even quote you real quickly a couple of things he said.
Yeah, please.
They're in the book. And this is page 15 of the book. And I quote, he's quoting James Madison. And it's a very fundamental decision. The great innovation of this design was that our citizens would have two political capacities, one state and one federal. Now get this, this is the kicker right here. Each protected from incursion by the other. And where have you ever heard it in any case in history where the state governments and state employees were actually required to protect us from the incursions of the federal government? Well, this case has it. I recommend the entire case. It's only about 20-21 pages when you read the decision from Justice Scalia. He wrote the opinion for the majority. And another point that he makes here, the local or municipal authorities form distinct and independent portions of the supremacy. You see, what I mentioned to you earlier, the evolution is that of thought now is that the federal government is supreme. Well, how did the federal government get supreme over the states when the states are the ones that formed the federal government in the first place? The states weren't formed by the federal government. We are here to tell them what to do. They are servants of the states. We are United States, and the federal government was there assigned to do certain things by the Constitution, and anything outside those prescribed duties belongs to the states or to the people, and that's the 10th Amendment. So anytime the federal government wants to get creative or they want to force nationalized health care down our otherwise healthy throats, the states can stop it. There isn't one state in this union out of the 50 states that has any obligation to go along with nationalized health care or anything else that is outside the Constitution from the Obama administration or Congress or anyone else in Washington, D.C., and that includes the IRS, the EPA, OSHA, FBI, anything else. Let me go on. no more subject within their respective spheres to the general authority than the general authority is subject to them within its own sphere. So the counties and the states are no more subject to the federal government than the federal government is subject to us within our own spheres. And so where do you define the federal sphere? Well, it's Article 1, Section 8. And just as the Supreme Court decision in my case says, the federal government was given and granted only discrete and enumerated and limited powers. And therefore, if they're going to stay within those limitations, it is really up to the states and the counties to make sure they do. Another quote, "This separation of the two spheres is one of the Constitution's structural protections of liberty. A healthy balance of power between the states and the federal government will reduce the risk of tyranny and abuse from either front. Hence, a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different governments will control each other." End quote. So, this is probably the most powerful 10th Amendment decision in the history of our country. It's been hidden from the American people, and as soon as every sheriff in this country realizes that a couple of small-town sheriffs sued the Clinton administration, lived to tell about it, and now have brought this forth in a 50-page booklet for every sheriff to witness, for every sheriff to read, for every citizen to read, and know and understand that, yes, this is irrefutable evidence that, indeed, the sheriff is the ultimate authority in the county.
Now, I want to back up for just a moment.
Okay.
And make sure people understand exactly what it means, or I should say, why they should be concerned with this. What are some of the hypotheticals, and maybe not so hypothetical, like since you have been in this position as sheriff, where have you seen or what could possibly happen when the federal government oversteps its bounds and the sheriff does nothing? What types of things are we talking about?
Well, you're talking about Ruby Ridge, Idaho, not hypothetical at all. A sheriff not knowing and not having the courage to take a stand there cost the lives of three people. Waco, Texas, cost the lives of 89 people. And I'm not chastising these sheriffs. I'm just simply using them as an example of what happens when you have Washington, D.C. bureaucrats do their hit-and-run specialties of coming in and acting like they own the place, and the sheriff sits back and watches. There was absolutely no need for that to occur in either county. And there's been other places where similar things have happened. Ed and Elaine Brown in New Hampshire is another one who were imprisoned by the IRS. There have been so many atrocities committed by the IRS in this country that it would take years to discuss them all. Suffice it to say that the IRS has a huge rap sheet. They have a horrible reputation. They are known as the Gestapo of America. They've earned every bit of that reputation. Why would any sheriff allow them unfettered access to people within his county that he has already sworn to protect and defend against all enemies, both foreign and domestic? So none of that makes sense to me at all. That the sheriffs would sit back and say, well, yeah, we're going to protect you from drug dealers and we'll try to protect you from street gangs, but the federal government can have all they want from you. And they can attack you all they want, and you'll have to get a lawyer and fight them for the next 5 to 10 years and spend everything you ever own to try to stop this injustice when the sheriff could stop it. And isn't that what they're there for, to prevent injustice? And so when we really catch hold that the most important thing a sheriff can do is to protect me from tyrants, then we really catch the vision of what law enforcement and sheriffs and protection and real public service is all about.
Now, if there's somebody in general, maybe that's listening to this call or somebody that might be privy to this information, unfortunately, and the federal government wants to come in, say it's the IRS or some other, you know, alphabet soup agency,
uh-huh.
And you know, either take away their kids or whatever, they want to find some reason to prosecute these people, take away their property or whatever,
uh-huh.
What can that person do immediately to either try to stop what's going on? Or, I mean, what is someone to do in that situation?
Well, that's a real good question. And the first thing is you have to make sure that your sheriff knows about this before that situation occurs. So you have to get him educated. You have to get our sheriffs educated. I can tell you honestly that I've been in touch with hundreds of sheriffs all across this country. There's dozens and dozens of sheriffs coming on board with this philosophy. They're starting to see the truth. They've read the book. People just like you and me and normal citizens listening to this program on this webinar today are taking books to their sheriffs and asking them to read it. Then you follow up and make sure that he does and see if he has any questions. Have him answer the question on page 16, and that's just right at the bottom or right after the paragraph I just read. And then you make sure that they're capable of handling such a situation when you do need to call your sheriff and say, hey, the IRS is here and they've served me some papers. You make sure your sheriff gets those papers. Then a constitutional sheriff will look those papers over and he'll let the IRS know. And I would really hope that we can do this in a preemptive way on two main issues, gun control and the IRS. What I would like to see is the sheriffs of several states get together, like Texas and Montana and Utah and Arkansas and Tennessee and Alabama and some others along the Bible Belt and other places in the Midwest, where the sheriffs say, you know what, we've tried to get along with the federal government, things have gotten a little bit out of hand, and we're going to take preemptive action, and we're going to tell the federal government in a declaration and use all the terminology of whereas and to wit, and let them know in no uncertain terms that there will be no more IRS seizures or confiscations, and that there will be no more gun control promulgated or perpetuated perpetrated by the federal government in these counties. And then they sign them, send it to the Congress, send it to the White House, and to the Justice Department, and maybe CC it over to some of these other agencies like the FBI and DEA and IRS, and just make sure that they know and understand that these sheriffs are not going to tolerate any more of this abuse. And say, you know what, I'm not kicking you out of the county. Banishment would be something a judge would have to do. But if you want to fight over these constitutional issues, we are willing and ready to do so. Just be it understood that there will be no more of this IRS abuse, and there will be no more gun control tolerated from Washington, D.C.
Now, we're talking about Washington, D.C. here, and we discussed, you know, with the 10th Amendment issue that came up earlier, that there are state and federal rights. You know, they're kind of a checks and balances
system
in a way.
Exactly.
Now, with the state, can the state come in and tell the sheriff what to do, or does the sheriff also tell the state what to do?
Well, the ultimate authority in the county is the sheriff, so it doesn't matter if the abuser comes from the state capitol or if he comes from the United States capitol. He is still there to protect the people. It's his job. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it doesn't matter where the wolf comes from. It doesn't matter if it's the state capitol or wherever. You'll see similar abuses within the state. And so the sheriff, yeah, he has a pretty tough job. And his job is not to bow down and kiss the hand of any government official. His job is to protect the people. The greatest protection, again, the greatest protection he can provide his citizens is that from tyranny. And when sheriffs know and understand that principle is when America starts turning around.
So the next step here for us is to start taking some conference calls, people coming in. And I just want to remind everyone, there's two different ways you can participate today. You can actually do it through our web form, which our first question is going to be coming through our web interface. You can go to republicmagazine.com/webinar if you have questions for our guest on this and other future calls. And just type in your question and have those submit, and we'll get through as many of those as we can. Or you can also raise your hand. So if you have a question, you're on the live conference right now, you can hit *2, and that will raise your hand, and we will get through those questions as quickly as we can. And another mention, this is all supported by Republic Magazine. So anything you can do to, you know, get subscriptions out to people, buy stacks of magazines, make sure they get in the hands of folks, Those efforts do support what we're doing today, bringing guests on to educate you and making the webinars available afterwards in the recordings. So let's jump right into the first question, which kind of ties into what we were talking about. Darlene in Albany, New York says, what counties in what states now have constitutional supportive sheriffs, as you talked about in your book?
Okay, we're starting to identify those, and I would say that there's no question that we have a couple in Utah. We have a couple in Minnesota. We've got a couple in Montana and Idaho. We're going to compile an entire list, and just so you know, we're not we mean business about this. We're not taking this lightly. We're going to identify every sheriff in the country and put them on a website. And let's say that you live in Stone County, Arkansas, and you'll be able to look up that sheriff. Just go to Arkansas, then put in the county that you want to see, and we'll show you exactly where that sheriff stands on the key issues of federalism and the 10th Amendment, states' rights, state sovereignty, and his duty to protect you from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. His answers and his philosophies will be listed there. If they refuse to answer the survey, that will be on there as well. And you'll need to contact him directly and say, why did you refuse to answer the questions? No one should be afraid to answer these. Like I said, we're not going to get them all, but we are going to identify which sheriffs across this country have been or are willing to be a constitutional sheriff.
Nancy Russell in New Hope is saying, I sent for your book. I sent your book to our local sheriff, plus a few notes prior to the mailing. I've heard zero from him, not even a thank you. Is this typical behavior for a sheriff?
It's not unusual. I don't know how typical it might be, but it's not unusual. You also need to make sure that you follow up. Don't give a book and then just hope he reads it. You've got to follow up and make sure you even stop by his office and say, you know, if his secretary says, well, he's in a meeting right now, just say, well, when can I come back? Or would you please have him tell me, call me, or let you know if he's read the book I left him and if he had any questions. I want to make sure that we clear up any questions he might have. And if he has some questions he wants to ask me, you get a hold of me and I'll call him. And I've done that a couple of times.
Would you recommend sending books registered or certified mail so in case something ever comes up you can prove that this person had this information?
I would recommend that you take it there in person. Now, if it's a friend of yours or somebody you want to send one in a neighboring town, yeah, you might want to do that because you'll have proof that he got it. But, I do a lot of work in the United States Postal Service, and I have yet to see where something actually got lost. You know, they do a pretty good job. It gets there. 99% of the time, it will get there. If you want to make the extra effort to make sure that it's certified mail, go ahead. It's a small book. It's not going to cost very much.
Denise in Benton, Kentucky is saying, I was wondering if you had sent your books out to all the Kentucky sheriffs yet.
Yeah, I think that's just been completed. My daughter is working on that, so it could be. I think it's something that just barely got finished.
How many counties are in the United States? Do you know that number?
Well, yeah, it's 3,100, same as the amount of sheriffs. Now, let me say though, in Hawaii, there's really no sheriff, although the court calls some of the paper servers there sheriffs. There's no elected sheriff in Hawaii or Alaska or Connecticut. Connecticut's legislature decided to vote away the office of sheriff. They don't really have the authority to do that, but they did it, and the state kind of went along, so that's a problem. So in Louisiana, they're called parishes, so technically there's about 3,100 elected sheriffs in this country.
Now, with the sheriff themselves being the only elected official, how do the deputy sheriffs, or those that follow what the sheriff has to say, what are their responsibilities?
Well, you see, that's the only place the officers under the head law enforcement officer are called deputies. A deputy is somebody who acts in the stead of the boss or the head of the department, in this case, the sheriff. So the sheriff needs to make sure that they are well-trained in the Constitution, that they know and understand the Constitution. When I was sheriff, each deputy was required to keep a pocket constitution and Declaration of Independence, some of the quotes of the Founding Fathers, a little white booklet I put together, in their shirt pocket, underneath their flap of their pocket, and it was to be a part of the uniform. And they had to refer to that and let me know what part of the Constitution allowed them to take certain action while they were thus employed as a deputy sheriff.
And
I just think that we need to spend more time like that and change this dearth of attention towards the Constitution and make it just the opposite, that everything we do in law enforcement will now be constitutionally oriented.
With the deputies that we're talking about, you think it would be a worthwhile endeavor to, whether the sheriff is open to it or not, to discuss this type of thing with the deputies as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was Bruce Bullock in Texas took a case of books and handed them out to every employee of the sheriff's office in the county where he lives in Texas. And so, yeah, you really want to give this book to every police officer, every chief of police, every deputy, your favorite cop locally, your uncle who works in law enforcement. Everybody should read this book. County officials, county attorneys, county commissioners should all read this book. If we get county commissioners and county attorneys and sheriffs acting unitedly in defense of our Constitution, man, this is going to absolutely snowball all across this country.
Jim in Wichita, Kansas has a question here with a little bit of history on it. We have rights with our Constitution, and we supported Ron Paul and everyone about ending the feds and the IRS. And now, out of the 80 million that hasn't filed, I'm one of them, and the IRS is on my butt because I elected to volunteer not to pay or file my taxes for the last 15 years. Who can I contact to get support and get the IRS off my back?
Well, again, I don't see anything happening in Washington, D.C., of all the abuse coming out of Washington, D.C., that the sheriff cannot stop. Hopefully you live in an area where the sheriff will take this seriously, where he will defend you against the tyrants. I am not recommending that people stop paying taxes. I pay my extortion, and that's exactly what this is. But I don't want people going to jail. I don't like the Elaine and Ed Brown situation in New Hampshire, as I mentioned before. My father was audited by the IRS 2 years after he retired from the FBI. These are things that are absolutely not supposed to happen. Hopefully we can get our sheriffs educated that random audits are unconstitutional, that there's no other law enforcement agency in the United States that is allowed to conduct random audits. Those are entirely unconstitutional. It's going to take some guts, and it's going to take some real knowledge on the part of the sheriff to say, look, you guys need to understand, I don't care who has endorsed your random audit thing or that you think it's an American ideal to monitor citizens and force citizens to monitor themselves financially. And if they don't do it right, you're going to throw them in jail or take away their property and kick them out of their homes like you are the king who owns all the property. Hopefully this caller that asked this can get through to his sheriff and help them know and understand. But your sheriffs who don't know and understand the principles of American freedom and our Constitution are going to have a little bit of hard time saying, look, you just don't want to pay your taxes, and I'm not going to be there to defending you so you can keep all your money. The principle involved here is what the IRS is doing, and have they been abusive, and have they committed crimes in the past, and all of that is an absolute yes. Even IRS employees, Jennifer Long being one, Joe Bannister being another, John Turner being another, Sherry Jackson being another, but Sherry Jackson is now in prison herself. And these are all former employees of the IRS. And they have all testified and blown the whistle about IRS criminality. The question is, are your sheriffs aware of this and two, are they courageous enough to do something about it? If they're not, hopefully we're going to find replacements for them.
So it sounds like it's not necessarily a discussion you should open up about the constitutionality of the income tax.
That's not where you start. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. That you need to understand the principle involved here. You must give milk before meat. And all these sheriffs who have never heard of these principles and don't know, you can't go in and say, don't you know and understand the IRS is unconstitutional and you're here to protect me? Now, why aren't you doing it, stupid? You know, that's probably not going to get the sheriff on your side very well. First, present him one of my books and let him know that, you know, would it be of interest to you that a couple of small-town sheriffs sued the federal government, the Clinton administration, and won a case to protect the office and duties and powers of the sheriffs all across this country. And they actually won at the United States Supreme Court. Wouldn't that be of interest to you to know about that case and to know what these sheriffs did? Well, one of the sheriffs, Sheriff Mack, wrote a book about it, and I'd really like you to read it. And then you hand him the book, and then you see what he says, because there's some real powerful stuff in there about the IRS.
So, but it's a lot to think about, I'll tell you.
Well, it is. And
I'm already, my mind's
you see,
going
these
crazy
could go on.
It.
Well, these could go on forever, but when your sheriff, and I'm also doing constitutional training classes for sheriff's offices all across the country as well, because I want to make sure these guys have an opportunity to get converted to the Constitution just like I was. I didn't start in law enforcement as a constitutional right-wing nut, you know. Oh, let's get rid of all, you know. And it took me years to see that the IRS was way out of line and that they're completely contrary to constitutional American liberty. And so, you know, you can't just go in there in one day and expect that your sheriff's going to jump on board with all of this.
I'm going to jump over to the call bridge now. We have a caller from, looks like, Moorhead, Minnesota. Last four digits of your number are 4758. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the line. One moment. Okay. Are you there, caller?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
We got you loud and clear.
Yes. My name is Ken, and it was very intriguing to hear the sheriff say that there was a couple of sheriffs in one of the 83 counties in Minnesota that are constitutional sheriffs. I live in northwestern Minnesota. And I wonder if it would be helpful for these two sheriffs in Minnesota that already are or considered constitutional sheriffs to be able to have an opportunity to talk with, for example, my sheriff in Clay County and that sort of thing. In other words, have one sheriff that's already been converted assist a citizen like myself in converting another sheriff and so on and so forth so that they can learn from and encourage each other.
Yeah, it is a good. That is a good idea, and the reason I said Minnesota is because it was the first state to get all the sheriffs a book, and a lady by the name of Jean Mitchell did that, and she took it upon herself to make sure that every sheriff there got it. Well, I heard back from five of the sheriffs there. They wrote me personally and thanked me for the book and said they really appreciated the principles detailed in the book, and that they were going to try to do their best to adhere to it. So I don't remember their names right off. I've had lots of different correspondence from sheriffs, and I don't remember all their names, but that's the reason I brought up Minnesota when I was giving the list out, because I've heard from at least five there in Minnesota who I know read the book and really liked it. A lot of other sheriffs are afraid to step forward. And so the best place to have a lot of this brought up, and this is also happening, I know for a fact that this book and the principles in the book have been discussed by sheriff associations, by the entire state sheriff's associations when they have their monthly or quarterly meetings, when the sheriffs all get together. That is where this needs to come up. And so I really would like to speak at the sheriff's association meetings if I could get in those.
How does that happen? Would the sheriffs have to invite you, I suppose, to your
constitutional? Yes, and that's where you come in, is maybe finding out who is president of your sheriff's association. Then you get a hold of him and say, hey, how about Sheriff Mack getting on your next Minnesota Sheriff's Association agenda and put him on for 20 minutes and let him discuss this with you.
Well, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Great. Another couple questions. We got questions pouring in. I just want to remind everybody here real quick. If you wanted to ask a question, you can hit *2 to raise your hand if you're on the live phone call right now, or you can go to republicmagazine.com/webinar to ask your question.
And maybe we ought to give out my website where people can get
I was just getting ready to say that. Go ahead.
SheriffMac.com. Now, folks, if you want to buy the book, you can go there, or you can just email me. If you don't want to use a credit card, it's faster and easier just to get on the website and do it. But if you want to email me at SheriffMac@Hotmail.com or give me a call, all that information is on my website. But the main thing is go to SheriffMac.com. You can order as many books as you like.
Excellent. Make sure you guys write that down. That's very, very important. There's a lot of information. I've been to Sheriff Mac's website. There's a lot of good stuff in there that will help educate you on these issues before you even get the book. And then when you get the book, you're going to be supercharged. So make sure you check that out and you write down that. We'll mention it a few more times as we go through. There's a really great question that came in here that's of a timely nature. David in Hillside saying, how can we use the Office of the Sheriff to prohibit the census next year from exceeding their authority to survey how many citizens reside at a particular address? How can we stop GPS gathering in the county by the census taker? Has already occurred here in Hillside County.
Again, there is nothing coming out of Washington, D.C. that the sheriffs can't stop. And I mean nothing. I don't care if it's forced vaccinations, H1N1. I don't care if it's nationalized health care. He can protect all of you from tyranny. That's his job. That's what he can do. First of all, you need to go to the sheriffs and say, you know what? Yes, conducting a census is constitutional. But then you need to take these questions. First of all, you don't have to answer any of the questions that are unconstitutional and that you don't want to answer. You don't even have to answer the door when they come if you don't want to. But if the census takers get a little bit forceful, and they are asking things that are unlawful or incorrect, and let your sheriff know. But first, that might be something that you can handle on your own. Tell them to get lost and get off your property.
Okay. We're coming up to the end of our conference call typically. Do you have would you be able to run over a little bit? Because we have a lot of questions that are coming in now.
Hey, let's do it.
All right. Good deal. I'm going to jump back over to the phone bridge here and take our next caller. Looks like Blounts, I know I'm probably doing that right, Blountsville, Alabama. The last four digits of your number are 5491. Let me just go ahead and unmute you. Okay, are you there? Oh, 1 second.
Yeah.
That didn't take.
There
Hello?
We
go.
Yeah,
there
she is.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Last year, I had the marshals came and threw my son out of my house. And I had been in federal court, was still in federal court. I had put in a promissory note. They took the promissory note. I had sent the sheriff and his assistant a document stating that they were to protect me and all. My son was thrown out, and it's horrible.
Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. Did you want your son removed from your home or not?
No. They were throwing him out.
Why?
We don't know.
So,
they would,
so the U.S.
The
Marshal
judge,
just...
The judge ruled that they were to take over the house.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's probably a scenario that I would have to look at and look at all the... documents and court papers and police reports, which I do that from time to time for people, but I do charge for that. If you wanted me to review it and then make some suggestions as to what you should have or could have done or what your sheriff should have done. But again, this all falls under the philosophy that I've been displaying here and discussing here in the entire hour that we've been together, is that you've got to get your sheriff educated before these things occur. If he knows and understands his duty to protect you from tyranny, and even if it's a court order, he still has an obligation to make sure that there was no injustice done. To give complete total trust to the courts or to legislatures is absolutely contrary to what the Founding Fathers warned us to do. It is our responsibility as citizens to make sure that our public officials are educated and that they stay within the limitations of the Constitution. Sheriffs have that same responsibility to make sure all other officials with whom they work to do the same thing. But once the monster is in your yard and the sheriff has never been educated about these things, it's going to be very difficult to have that happen.
Well, this sheriff, he was not protecting anyone at all. He was having an affair, and he was just not protecting anyone in this county. And they finally had him removed, and another one was put into his office.
And nothing could be worse than to have a sheriff who is corrupt and who keeps getting voted in and in and in. So it looks like at least you got rid of the one. But the thing of it is, the one that's in there now, you got to make sure that he is educated. And it might need to be from some other people besides you, because he's going to go, oh, well, yeah, of course, you were victimized, or so you say. Of course, you're going to be wanting to grind an axe against everybody. But other people involved in your community, other people need to get involved. A lot of people need to get after their sheriffs and say, look, we really want to be protected here. There's absolutely no obligation whatsoever for you to go along with other people who violate the Constitution. There is no moral or lawful or legal responsibility for your sheriff to go along with anyone who is violating the Constitution.
The rest of these people in this community, they're ostriches in the sand. They're going along with everything. They don't realize anything's wrong.
Yeah. Well, there's ways to get around this, but it's going to be tough going. But there's other, and like I said, we're not going to get every sheriff, and we're not going to get every county on board, but we're going to get hundreds.
Our next question comes from Darlene in Albany. She says, doesn't it appear that the current government everywhere, the de facto, in fact, not de jure lawful, this is supported by the facts that none are sworn to organic constitutions. For example, no police officer in my county is sworn to the Constitution, plus none have bonds anymore.
The bond thing has gone a long time ago, but yes, they are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. If that means a different constitution, let me tell you right now, none of them know that. The Constitution is the one that was originally penned by our Founding Fathers. That's the one we are liable for. That's the one we gave our word for. Even other people said, well, the Constitution was null and void by FDR when he did the Emergency War Powers Act. That did away with the Constitution. It did not do away with my oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. I still owe my word and the fulfillment of my word to the people I work for. I already promised the people in my county that I would uphold and defend their constitutional rights. That's exactly what they need to be held accountable for.
Benson and Colton is asking, is it possible in the future that the Supreme Court could reverse your decision?
Well, yeah, they could, but they haven't, and we need to go for it the way it is. Now, if this same case went there right now, we would still win it. There are four liberals, there's still four liberals on the court that would side with the same way the ruling did when it came out in 1997. June 27, 1997 is when this ruling came out. It is still the law of the land. And now some people say it's not the law because it's a Supreme Court decision. The reason it is the law of the land is because it goes exactly in line with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The supreme law of the land is the Bill of Rights, and the most important of those is the Tenth Amendment, where it says states' rights and the power of the states to tell the federal government to stay out of our jurisdictions and to stay out of our lives. If the states don't do that, it is back to the counties, and the battle will come down to one point, and that is the sheriff. Because the enforcement and the defense within the county is the last straw. It's the last line.
Gary in Wadsworth, Illinois, is asking, what effect did the U.S. declaring bankruptcy in 1933 have on the sheriff's power? The second part of his question, it's kind of a follow-up, says, it's my impression that when that happened, that the international bankers gained control over every state and every citizen therein and set up a so-called straw man. And until we claim back these rights, we're subject to their rule and their court system.
No, we're not. We're not subject to anything that's outside the Constitution. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land in this country. I don't care who set up what kind of subversive deal. I don't care what the bankers have done. I don't care what corrupt Washington, D.C. politicians have done. Your public officials have a moral and lawful responsibility to uphold and defend the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the state wherein you reside and wherein that sheriff is employed. The bottom line is, there is nothing that will keep him from doing that except his own ignorance and apathy. And that's why we got to make sure, again, this is the answer. I don't care if it's the straw man. I don't care if it's what really happened about 9/11. I don't care if it's FEMA camps or H1N1 or chemtrails or anything else that is being discussed in our country today. Whether there's validity to any of those conspiracy theories or not, it matters not one iota. What matters is your sheriff has the responsibility and the duty to protect you and your family from tyrants.
Frank in Long Beach actually has a great question that follows up on that. Frank says, every politician and lawmaker makes an oath to uphold, preserve, protect, and defend the constitutions from enemies, both foreign and domestic. There's an abundance of evidence of malfeasant complicity in the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government. Why would a sheriff be immune from venal activity and obey the Constitution any more than the other officials?
Well, they're not. You know, most people haven't. So what are we going to do with that situation? I agree with him. And part of the reason I wrote this book is I recognize that fact for myself. Nobody's keeping their oath. Nobody follows the Constitution. I watched it for about 12 years in law enforcement before I even became sheriff, or right when I became sheriff. And that's one of the reasons I ran for sheriff, is because I was sick and tired of talking about this constitutional destruction going on within our country. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I ran on a constitutional platform. I was reelected. And then I really kind of said to myself, along with my wife and my mother, saying, you know what? Now we know why you were called to be sheriff, because of the battle that I waged against the Clinton administration. And I'll tell you right now, that took a little bit of courage. And it was a good thing I had a good wife that was really supporting me, because there was no one else there. You know, I stood alone. And then luckily a few other sheriffs joined the lawsuit, or I think I wouldn't have lasted through it. I was thrilled when Sheriff Prince filed a similar lawsuit. He and I had never discussed this. No other sheriffs except the one from Vermont, Sheriff Frank Vermont from Vermont, was the only one that called me and said, okay, what do I got to do to join this lawsuit? The others just did it because it was the right thing to do. And I'll tell you, I'm really glad I got this victory at the U.S. Supreme Court. It's an amazing thing, but quite honestly, we shouldn't have filed the case. We should have just said no. We should have told the federal government, we're not doing this, and there's nothing you can do to make me.
As a reminder to everybody that's listening to the call, either on the live call or the webcast, Republic Magazine has a lot of these stories. And actually, we did an article on Sheriff Mac back in issue number 14, which was the Don't Tread on Me issue. You can't miss it. It's a big yellow cover with a bullet with the Don't Tread on Me Gadsden snake there. All these magazines with this information are available for free on the website. You can go there. You can subscribe to the digital edition for free. You can download them. Because if you're going to be taking issues to your sheriffs, you may want to be educated on the complexities of the issues, as well as some of the other cases that are going on around the country with these issues. And
yeah,
Republic Magazine has a lot of that information in it. So I just want to ask everyone, if you haven't yet gotten your free digital subscription, go to republicmagazine.com, get signed up. There'll be a popover, and there's a place where you can put your name and email, and you'll get immediate access to all these back issues. And, of course, you can take and get the physical copies if you want to take those and distribute those around town or take them to back up these discussions you have with your local law enforcement people to say, look, this is stuff that's being printed and produced on a wide scale nationally. These are issues that are in print. This is stuff you need to know about. This information is here to arm you, along with Sheriff's Max book, with the truth, understanding, and it's going to put you in a position where when you're talking to people, they're not going to look at you like some crackpot. You're going to have some good, honest information behind you that they cannot refute. So I just recommend everyone go there and make sure you get your magazines and get the digital subscription. And definitely go to Sheriff Mack's website, which I want to mention again. It's sheriffmack.com. And you can go ahead and order that book or I guess you sell them in boxes too, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. As many as you want.
Get a whole box of books. I think we're probably going to do that after we get off the call, so I'll probably give you a call in a little bit because we've got to get some of those books in our storehouse.
Also, one other point there. Your magazine was the first one to do a story about this book, but also others have followed. And October 12th issue of The New American also did a huge article about this book and this movement of the article was entitled "Can the County Sheriff Save the Constitution?" And the answer, of course, is yes. And why is detailed in my book, "The County Sheriff: America's Last Hope." And so, I want you to know I appreciate Republic Magazine, but there's others, and it's out there. And so, folks, you can use any of those as tools, but the main tool is have the book in your hand and always get at least one book for you and another one to pass around and then another one to give to your sheriff.
Absolutely. Make sure you read the book before you pass it along.
Exactly. You have to know what it says. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Gina in Rapid City is asking, are all the counties covered in South Dakota?
Almost. I think we've got just a few more to do there. We did get the money from... the same lady that did Minnesota has also paid for South Dakota to be done, so it's almost done.
Okay, jumping over to our
we still need North Dakota and Nebraska in that area.
Well, there's a lot of states to be covered, and I would just say if anyone has the wherewithal to say, you know what, I'm going to take a stand today. I can't necessarily get out there and do this stuff myself. Would they be able to send you enough capital to send the books out to all the states?
Yeah, what it costs, as Gene can tell you, it costs about $6.50 per book, and that's to pay for the envelopes, to pay for our people to stuff them, and then to pay for the postage and to pay for the books. It's $6.50 per book. So if you have 80 sheriffs in your state, if you want to do half, you know, if you want to do enough for 40, then that's fine too. Whatever you want to do. But yes, a lot of people have already stepped up and done that, and that's why we now have about 22 states completely covered.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. But there's still a lot yet out there to be done, whether you walk that book in there or you wait for somebody or you send them out yourself. We've got to make sure we get this information in those hands of the people that can help protect us, because there's nobody, I don't think, in our court system that's going to uphold these laws. We have to take this at this point to, you know, our local protectors, the sheriff, and say, look, you need to help us. This is an issue with the people. So jumping over to our phone bridge, Clearwater, Florida. We're going to be jumping on here. 1 second. Last four digits of your phone number is 5160. Are you there?
Yes, George. This is Jack in Florida.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, Sheriff Mack, thanks a lot for all you're doing. A group of us here have sent all 67 sheriffs in Florida here your book.
Hey, way to go.
And
thank you.
I understand that we got about 34 replies.
And well, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know what the replies were, but that's certainly good news. Is it your site that offer the position of the sheriffs in each county?
Well, we're going to. Yeah, that's our next project. We're going to get every sheriff surveyed and vetted, and then we're going to post their remarks on a website called the Constitutional Sheriffs Association, and it'll be available for everybody to access.
Wonderful. Yep.
Yep.
That's terrific. Well, I guess that's it for me. I have read your book, and it really people need to become aware of it. No
well,
question
thanks.
About it.
Thank you much.
Okay. Fine. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. See you
okay.
soon.
So we're at a point now where we have so many questions coming in that I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get to those within the matter of the time that we have left.
Well, it happens all the time, and certainly if people want to email me, I'll try to get to all their questions. And, again, that's SheriffMack@Hotmail. Most of these fall under, you know, different scenarios, and, you know, you can play the different scenario thing, you know, till next millennium. The basic thing, remember, let's stay focused on the solutions here. The solution is not in Washington, D.C. Do not focus anymore on the problems. I mean, yeah, be aware of what Washington, D.C. is doing, but be aware there is no solution in Washington, D.C. It does not exist. You have to search out and find the solutions in your county and in your states.
Linda in Pennsylvania has kind of a specific question, and it brings up another question in my mind, which I'll ask after that. Is it against any of her constitutional rights for my township to tell me what I must do regarding my property by forcing me into paying $1,200 for a sewer system that's not needed, as they will put a lien against my home? Can the local sheriff do anything? And for that matter, when we're talking about localities and municipalities that the sheriff kind of is managing, or, you know, in that scenario, how does that differ from state and federal?
You know, I've looked at some of these zoning laws, and zoning laws are probably the most difficult for a sheriff to get involved in. And this might not be a zoning law, but then again, it might be. Because, first of all, you have to respect the right of the property owner, but then do you have to respect the right of the property owner to do anything there that might be violating some of the rights of the people that live around that property owner? So those are the most tenuous cases for a sheriff to get involved in. So I'm glad that came up, because that is the ultimate gray area for a sheriff. You know, he goes in and looks at you and say, you know, you want to butcher animals or pigs on your property, and it's creating a stench and health hazard for everybody that's living near there, or you've made your property a kind of a garbage area, or you know, storing old cars and becoming an eyesore and whatnot. And can the sheriff get involved in any of that? You know, that's the ultimate gray area here. First, I would say this to answer that question specifically: the sheriff needs to look at that and say, why is this person being deprived of their property? Has due process been allowed? And by property, I mean the $1,200. Why should they have to do that? Why would a person have to do that if they already have a septic tank of their own and it's all within standard? You know, if there's a problem where, you know, there is no proper septic tank and sewage system there on that property, then, you know, maybe the sheriff would say, look, lady, you need to take care of this, and you're not doing this right, and, you know, I don't want you to spend $1,200, but you need to do this right. It wasn't done right in the first place. So, you know, building codes and zoning laws, you know, there are some place for them, and, again, the sheriff would just have to look at those on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, I'd like to do kind of a quick round. We've got a bunch of questions, and some of the ones I'm sorting through are really good ones. So I want to make sure we try to get through some of these as quickly as we can, because I know that the sheriff's time is valuable, and I don't want to keep him on the phone forever. But John in Upland saying, how can I find the location of my county sheriff's office so I might go and serve them book?
Oh, hey, that's a real good question. Just you can Google it, or just look it up in your white pages. They should be listed in the government pages of your phone book, but you can also Google them and just put your county, and all sorts of information will come up about your sheriff's office. It'll give the address and phone number. Sometimes they even give an email address, and the name of the sheriff should come up. And yeah, that's a good question. Make sure it's all readily available on your computer.
And Nancy in New Hope is asking basically where she can go to get that information about the county sheriff. Do you have a website that's already up yet or not up yet?
No, the surveys haven't even been formulated yet. This is a project that we've just started, and we've got volunteers getting organized to make sure this happens. And it's going to be called the Constitutional Sheriff's Association. One of our volunteers in Oregon is trying to get a website link to that. You might check that and see if it's up yet. www.constitutionalsheriffsassociation. I don't know if it's .com or .org, but like I say, this has just started. We hope to have the whole thing finished by March.
Okay, Michelle in Billings is asking, can the sheriff protect you from having your house repoed due to bankruptcy, or are they required to follow through on these?
You know, I know Sheriff Dart from Cook County, that's Chicago. He started telling the courts and the judges not to have him do those anymore because he was getting a little bit fed up with the banks, and it appeared to him that due process was not being followed. So, yes, there's even a way for sheriffs to get involved in that as well. Sheriff Dart probably being the biggest county sheriff, one of the biggest in the United States, and he told the courts that he would no longer serve those eviction notices. And you can even, that was in Newsweek, and the title of the article was Vigilante or Hero, and it was all about Sheriff Dart from Chicago.
Well, speaking of vigilantes and heroes, Tim in Louisville is asking, are there any counties setting up its own militia of civilians to assist the sheriff in completing his duties against the feds?
That's a real good question. It's called the Sheriff's Posse, and every one of you should be volunteering and telling your sheriff to form posses. These can be extremely helpful. They can help in so many different ways. And Sheriff, the most famous sheriff in the world, Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Phoenix, the fifth largest city in the United States, has a posse consisting of about 5,000 volunteers. What I would like to see each sheriff in this country do is make sure that every member of his posse, that he already has the authority to organize and call out, based on the concept of militias, which is nothing more than citizen volunteers, that he give them each an identification stating that they are members of his posse and that they are to be armed, and no one is to disarm members of his posse. Wouldn't you love to see that?
That's powerful.
Yeah, it is.
I'm excited. That's a good one.
There's so many potential. There's so much potential here with all of this, and that's why I'm glad that question came up, because posse is definitely one of the ones that you want to address in your county.
Tim in Louisville is asking another question here. Are traffic and parking tickets constitutional?
No, they are not. Most traffic, I'd say 90% of most traffic laws are not. They have to have a legitimate safety violation occur, not just sit there. Photo radar, I've spoken out about photo radar. It's also on my website. I never enforced, or at least I never wrote a ticket for somebody not wearing their seatbelt. That's the first one that was way unconstitutional. But traffic parking tickets are inherently unconstitutional because they're cited to a piece of property instead of the actual person. And then say a friend of mine is driving my car and he gets a ticket, a parking ticket, it goes to me instead of to him. And that's entirely unconstitutional.
Paula in Montville, Maine is saying, will Sheriff Mack be in person or conference call with the sheriff's associations?
I would much rather be there in person.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, jumped right into some other questions here. Oh, that's not a question. That's a statement. Okay, Sheriff Mack, isn't the sheriff obligated to protect every citizen from being forced to file a 1040 income tax return? How can they force you to give up your Fifth Amendment rights?
I would love to see that. Again, that's going to be something that you're going to have to address after we get some of this milk stuff to the sheriffs. But it's addressed in my book, To Protect You from the IRS. And there's nothing that is constitutional about the IRS. There's nothing constitutional about the federal income tax. It's wrong. It's immoral. It's unconstitutional. The 16th Amendment was never ratified properly by the states. So I'm ready to take action and join you with all of that, yes, but it needs to be done right. And just going into the sheriff and say, protect me from having to pay taxes and from the IRS, is not the first thing you want to talk to him about. Make sure he reads this book first, and then let's sit down and talk with these sheriffs. And that is definitely something that's being talked about. And I've had two sheriffs, one from Michigan and one from Tennessee, tell me that they have considered just recently and are considering arresting IRS agents within their counties. Even to have that discussed is a major miracle and a huge step in the right direction.
Just as a quick reminder to everybody that's on the live conference call, if you hit star 2, you can raise your hand if you have questions and you actually want to ask those personally to our guest. Hit star 2, that will raise your hand. We've got a few more questions coming in on the submission page I want to get through here. Frank in Long Beach is saying, does your website list the 22 states that are covered with the book?
It covers most of them. I think we're a little bit behind in updating those. California is covered. But again, folks, if you've been covered once, the sheriff may or may not have received the book. He may or may not have read the book. I really hope that that won't deter you from still sending books to your sheriffs in that area, in your area. Still get a book and send it to him. Maybe he can give one to his undersheriff or a couple of his deputies. But this is the thing. By the time your sheriff gets his fourth or fifth or sixth copy of the book, he's going to realize that this is something that his constituents want him to read and study and adhere to. And maybe, just maybe, by the time he gets his fifth or sixth copy, he'll get it. He'll get the message. So don't, just because they're on there, don't let that stop you. Or you can always donate to our No Sheriff Left Behind project, and we'll get them to other neighboring sheriffs. And we hope to, within the next 3 or 4 months, that we have every sheriff covered in the entire United States.
Dale in Rockford, Illinois, is asking, is there a list or a map available of all the sheriffs that have read this book?
No, we've never really been able to determine that because, just like the caller Jack said from Florida, they got half of their sheriffs to respond. Well, you know, I don't know which ones they are. It hasn't been that organized where people have gotten back with us, and so we haven't been able to keep track of that. But we are going to specifically keep track of it once we come up with this Constitutional Sheriffs Association survey, and we'll be able to put all that information out there. And that might be one of the questions, you know, have you read the constitutional book by Sheriff Mack? And so anyway, it just depends on how we put the survey together.
Okay, we've got time for just a couple more questions. Joe Marie Johnson in Bellflower is actually making a statement. He said, I bought four of your books for about $10 and sent them out to four different sheriffs in California. The San Bernardino sheriff sent me a thank you letter. That's kind of positive.
Well, see, that's the, you know, at least the sheriff had the gumption and courtesy to do that. And most of the sheriffs that are going to respond like that are the ones that are going to be reading it. So, yeah, absolutely. Keep those books going. Yeah.
All right, let's jump over to the phone call bridge. We got another, one of our callers from earlier today has another question. Last four digits, 5491.
Hello.
Are you there? Yep, we've got you.
Okay. I need to know, is this being recorded to where it can be, someone can listen to it again?
Yes, it is. That's a good thing you brought that up. We make all of our webcast recordings available anytime. You can refer friends over. You can check them out yourself. If you go to republicmagazine.com/webinar, right below the current webinar, whatever we're going to be doing, the play buttons and everything, there's a list of all the webinars we've done in the past, and you can go through those, and you can listen anytime you want to, 24 hours a day. This will be recorded and should be up by tomorrow, if not within a matter of maybe an hour or two after we get done today.
Okay. Will Sheriff Matt be on any more calls?
Well, I would hope so. I hope we'll get him on there.
So.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Do you have any calls coming up soon? Any radio spots or anything you know of?
I've got a radio show tonight. I can't remember who it's with, but, I'll be happy to come back on your show. You know that, George.
Absolutely. Well, just I'd say keep your eyes peeled for the emails that come out, and we'll definitely let you know. Make sure you come back and check on a regular basis, and we'll try to get the sheriff back on at some point in the near future.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. If there are no other questions, let me just check the
Well, either way, I've got to run. I got to get out of here.
I know we've kept you past. But yeah, what I want to do is just remind everyone again where they can get these books, what they need to do. SheriffMack.com is the website. Make sure you go there, check it out, read it. Get copies of the book for yourself. Get copies for your sheriffs, your local law enforcement. And it might not even be a bad idea. Yeah, exactly. States, judges, anyone that really has an interaction with the sheriff that needs to uphold these laws to know the sheriff really does have this authority. I think it's really important that we get as many of these books out there. This information needs to be in people's hands. Get your copies of the magazine. Forward a digital magazines over there free, too, to people that can read this and understand what's going on with the subject. And then I think people that have personal questions for you about the issues like you brought up earlier, they can contact you through your website, correct?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
And just email me. My email is there. And, you know, are we ready for a closing thought?
Let's do it.
The one line from Justice Scalia in the decision, the one sentence that made all of this worthwhile and so miraculous was just one sentence, quote, "But the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions," end quote. Don't you wish that every politician, every sheriff, every state legislator, every governor knew and understood that principle, that the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions? That's a Supreme Court decision. That's in the Mack Prince v. U.S. decision. We filed this against the Brady Bill. It was a federal unconstitutional act. And two small-town sheriffs made history in fighting that all the way to the Supreme Court. But the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. The rest of the Constitution will work when we get local officials and the people to stand together hand in hand for the holy cause of liberty. That's where everybody listening to this show and participating today comes in. It's your job, it's your responsibility to make sure that this message moves all across the country, especially throughout your county. And so the only thing I would say is God bless us. May 2010 be the year we get back American freedom.
Hear, hear. So thanks again, Sheriff Mack. I appreciate you coming on. Make sure everyone go to your websites or go to your computers, go to the website, sheriffmack.com. Check it out. Get your books. Get out there. Get active. Because it is ultimately your responsibility. This is a constitutional republic, not a democracy where we have people representing us. It's you that elect these people. It's your responsibility. It's your job to keep them in check. And I just want to leave everybody with that.
Thanks, George.
And until next time, make sure you check out our webcast tomorrow. We have them Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of every week. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks again, Sheriff Mack. Appreciate it.
See you soon. Thanks for having
me.
Take
care, everybody.
The mind.